We all have name tags this week, right? It's name tag Sunday. How fun. If you didn't get a name tag, if you feel weird not wearing one today, which would be nobody, because who loves to wear name tags? Not all of us, but if we're all doing it, it's fun, right? So the Connections team has decided to say, hey, we've been together, many of you, for a number of years, some of you for only a couple of weeks, but we may not know each other's names. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's just like that. So we decided to have Name Tag Sunday, and we're going to be doing this from time to time. It's not going to be every week, so don't worry. It's not going to be awkward or anything like that, but we decided to do Name Tag Sunday so that if there's that person that, like, you're sitting across the aisle with and you just, like, you see them every Sunday, but you just don't know their name and it's awkward, right? It's been so long, like 5 years, and it's really creepy if you ask them their name. That's why we do Name Tag Sunday. So it's not creepy. It's not weird. It's not different if you're looking down and you're going, oh, hi, so-and-so. I'm glad to know your name now. So that's why we've done it, because we want to make it not weird. We also have a potluck after church today. So if you are here, you are welcome to stay. If you are brand new to the church, I mean, I'm talking like 6 months or newer, or even if this is your first Sunday and you didn't bring anything to share today, you're invited to stay. I mean, I won't eat if there's not enough food. I'm good with that. We just want you to be here. We just want to hang out with you. We want to get to know you. We want to interact with those of you who don't know each other. That's the goal. So, but hey, we're all welcome to stay with a potluck afterwards. So it should be a fun afternoon as well. So I'll try to shorten up my sermon because I know we're all going to, like, we're smelling the aromas of things that are going on down in the basement this morning, but we're going to have fun this afternoon. So you are all welcome to stay, and then we'll have a good time. So I think that's everything I wanted to share as far as that, but I do want to give, like, this, like, warning before I get into the message today. This is, and I'm just praying, and pray for me, like, This message is one that I'm, like, crazy passionate about today. It's because I deal with this. I struggle with this, and I'm just confessing before you today. We're talking about living and working in the power of the Holy Spirit, like understanding who the Holy Spirit is, letting the Holy Spirit lead, seeking the Holy Spirit in our lives for every direction. And so this is something that I'm, like, really, really passionate about, because this is something I need to work on in my life, is letting Holy Spirit lead in my life. But yet I'm passionate about it because God has given me a message or a ministry of understanding and discerning those of you who don't live like that as well. Does that make sense? So I'm pointing the finger at myself this morning, and I'm preaching to myself today, because I'm just letting you know in confession that this is an area that I struggle in, but also it's an area where I can discern and understand that others are lacking as well. I hope that makes sense. And I hope that doesn't come across too judgmental. But this, like I said, this is a warning because I'm passionate about this, because it's one of those things where you see the church moving in a direction, and I'm talking about Dighton Church. You see Dighton Church and the church universal working and living and breathing and acting in a certain way, and there's a remedy for the lacking of the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we're not connecting the two, it can be so overwhelmingly frustrating. And so as I read to you this passage of scripture, I want us to just be in prayer as we let Holy Spirit speak to us, speak to me today as we move forward. And so I'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And this is Paul the apostle. He's speaking to the church in Corinth. Paul is a prophet of sorts. They call him the apostle because he's a mover, he's a shaker. He's a person with attitude. He's a person that has righteous, like, anger. He's a man of God that he's not timid, but he lives and works in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says this. Paul says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Lord, today we are so thankful for this passage of Scripture in which it empowers us to read that Paul was just an ordinary guy, that Paul was just a person that didn't have a lot of wisdom, he had wisdom, but a lot of persuasive words and eloquent words. But Lord, his passion, like my passion, I want to rely on Holy Spirit, oh God. And so I pray right now that your Spirit would speak to us in a marvelous way. And so as we see this, as Paul writes this, he's not relying on his training. He's not relying on his talent. Paul had an education far beyond his peers, however, but he never depended on it. He never depended on this his education. He depended on the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to be just like hammering this point this morning. This isn't a huge and deep and theologically expositional passage that I'm going to be bringing to you this morning, but I just want you to share with you that Paul shares with the Corinthian church that his goal is to bear witness to God. His goal is to bear witness to Jesus Christ. Rather than engaging in philosophy or philosophical discussions and discrepancies, Paul was bearing witness for Jesus. He didn't care about the people around him that were politicians, the wealthy, the powerful people. You see, he was concerned about being obedient to the commission that was given to him for being a witness for Jesus Christ. That's all he cared about. He was concerned about being obedient to the gospel and to proclaim the gospel. His calling was to do nothing else, than to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. A book that I read years ago, and some of the board members went through this book. It's called By Signs and Wonders, by Stephen Elliott. He says this. He says, I'm convinced the North American Christian church does not lack knowledge, mission, or conviction. What Christians lack is the power to be successful witnesses. For too many years, we have relied on human skill, advertising, creative programming, and human persuasiveness, rather the impetus and the presence of God's power. End quote. You see, this is what a fantastic a quote here in this book, talking about as a church, we're relying upon self. Like, we rely upon our ideas, we rely upon our things and our programs, our situation, we rely upon that instead of truly tapping in to the Holy Spirit's calling, to the Holy Spirit's leading, to the presence of God's power. In the New Testament, 50% of all conversions took a miracle. 50% of all conversions to Jesus Christ, those people who were not with Jesus, those people who are now with Jesus, 50% in the New Testament, it took a miracle of God for them to realize who Jesus was. And so as we think about this, I want to talk about like this underwhelming ministry that we have. Like an underwhelming ministry. After Jesus performed miracles, time after time, people shared passionately and frequently about Jesus to their neighbors, their family, their coworkers, their friends, because they have witnessed a miraculous encounter with Jesus. And so as you think about our ministry, Dighton Church, my ministry, as your pastor, it feels underwhelming at times. When you think about the New Testament, when you read the New Testament, when people were changed by Jesus, when a miracle had happened, they just couldn't help but share what had happened. And I think about us. I think about us in this room. When was the last time you couldn't help but share your faith? We call it share our faith. What does that mean? When was the last time you went to your coworkers and said, oh my goodness, I've got to share with you my love of Jesus because this is what he's done for me. This miracle took place in my life. I had an encounter with Jesus last Sunday morning, and this is what took place. I've got to share this. When was the last time? So I wonder if the majority of people in Jesus' day, would they have been so enthusiastic about inviting their family to come to meet Jesus had there not been any miracles in their life? Well, so yet today when churches either minimize or discourage the supernatural manifestations of God and the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, we strangely expect those in our congregations to be excited about inviting their family and friends to church to meet Jesus. And so, in other words, it's no wonder we don't invite people to church. It's no wonder we don't talk about Jesus at our workplace. It's no wonder when we go to family functions, we stay quiet about Jesus. It's because we don't invite the power of the Holy Spirit in his overwhelming manifestations that come with that into our everyday lives, into our church. And so we end up with an underwhelming ministry, not just in Dighton Church, but in our own personal ministry. So it leads to underwhelming ministry. So underwhelming church, think about this. I wonder how many Christians have lingering doubts about their faith, in part because they see such little evidence of the power of God in their own lives and in their own church. I mean, think about it. Like, do we live, are we partaking in an underwhelming church because we just say, ah, Holy Spirit, we don't want anything to do with you. We're going to do things on our own terms. We're going to do things the way I feel that we should do things. We have an underwhelming church. I mean, presently, almost 50% of all churches in North America see no conversions per year. Like 50% of all churches in North America see zero conversions. A conversion is somebody that who is lost and in sin and has no hope into an overwhelming, amazing relationship with Jesus Christ and accepting his forgiveness. That's what I mean by conversion. There's 50% who see zero conversions. And primarily reaching those who are biologically related or close friends of the people of the church rarely are seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Sadly, about only 5% of Christians will ever, in their lifetime, lead another person to Jesus. Like 5% of Christians will ever, in their lifetime, lead another person to the Lord. You know, see, the reality is that people are spiritually hungry, but they're not finding the message from us as a church. They're not finding it because statistically it's only 5% of us who are actually sharing our faith, who are actually witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who has actually had a miracle take place. And God changed you enough for you to share it with somebody else. There's only 5%. Are doing that. You may have heard this stat before, but the reality is that people are the remaining 20%, sorry, I've got stats everywhere. Let me find where I am. 80% of North American churches are plateaued or declining in attendance. 80% of North American churches are plateaued or declining in attendance. And so the remaining 20%, 19 are growing primarily because of transfer believers between churches or the birth of babies. So are you following? Am I throwing too many numbers? Is it too early? You're looking at me like, hold on, slow down. So 80% of North American churches have stopped growing in attendance, or they're declining. But the rest of the 19%, and there's 1% I'll tell you about in a minute, 19% are growing only because of transfer growth, right? That's like the church down the road. Like, we get people from that church. So we celebrate. Woo! We're growing. We're a growing church because we just stole somebody else's sheep. That's not success. That's not success for me. I hope it's not success for you. And so that leaves 1% are of Christians, or of churches, I'm sorry, that are growing because of conversion growth, because people are actually getting saved and baptized. And so there's some work to do. And we think about, you know, you have to think about, why is this underwhelming church? And there's studies that show, and as we read scripture today, let me remind you, it's not about, this is what Paul says, verse 3, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. And at times I feel like we as a church are trying to use clever and persuasive speeches, myself included. Like, we've got a fantastic worship team. But are we only relying on the power in which we have within us? I dare not say this because I don't want to say it. But this is who I am. I have to say it. What if the worship team had no practice that week? No plan that week. Nothing. No paper on these stands that week. And in a 2 weeks' time or 1 week's time, we say, worship team, we're asking you to come up and lead worship in the power of the Holy Spirit. What would we do as a worship team? And now I'm just talking to the worship team. What would you do? Some would quit. I'm sure of it. Some would complain. But most of you would get on your knees for an entire week, every single morning, and say, Lord, we're not allowed to practice. We're not allowed to pull music. We're just supposed to worship. What would we do? We'd say, I need you and the power of the Holy Spirit to come overwhelmingly and meet us in that place. Now, the reason why I said I didn't want to share that, not to offend you guys, but they would probably go, okay, Pastor, your turn. And I'd like, oh, crap. What if they decide to say, all right, Pastor, put your money where your mouth is. No computer, no prep work, no office time. But you have to share a message from the Holy Spirit. What would I do? You know what I would do. I'd be like, Lord, I need you desperately this week. I need you to come and fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. I need you to do a miracle because I need my notes. I'm not a pastor that loves to just wing it and walk all over to the stage and just do it from memory because I'm not that smart or that good. I'd be desperately on my knees every single morning, every single night, and saying, Lord, I need a message. Now, it's not that I don't do that throughout the week. I pray. I ask God to bring me a message, and yet I'm always prepared. I never enter this stage without being prepared, but wow. Can you imagine? So I don't want to be an underwhelming church led by us, just me. For too many years, we have relied on human skill. For too many years, we've relied on advertising, creative programming, human persuasiveness, rather than the power of God. And so when we rely on teams and boards and systems and quads and all of that fun, great stuff that we need, and we do need that. We need structure, you guys. We need that. That's okay. But Jesus did this. He instructed his disciples in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I don't think we have it on the screen. He says this, and now I will send you the Holy Spirit just as my Father had promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. I mean, Jesus himself said, listen, you got to stay put because you ain't no good in your own strength. You're no good without the power of the Holy Spirit. So you better just shut up and wait. Just stay right here. Disciples, I know you're eager to minister. I know you've got so many gifts. I know you have so many strengths. And I know you're eager to share because you've seen so many miracles take place. But you've got to wait. Because unless the power of the Holy Spirit comes over you, you're worthless. And I'm telling you, as I said, I warned you that this is exactly the message to you today. That you're worthless as a church. Absolutely worthless. I'm worthless as a pastor without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my third thought was the underwhelming presence. I've heard of a local Jehovah's Witness congregation completely put up a place of worship in one weekend. Their dedication, their work ethic, their sacrifice and organization were so impressive, but they didn't have any power to persuade any of us to become Jehovah's Witness, right? I mean, like it's like you can see a congregation work, put up a great new building, but does that really make you want to become a Jehovah's Witness? I mean, the dedication of the Mormons as they go door to door sharing their faith. On these, you know, you've seen them. Excuse me. But it doesn't make me want to become a Mormon just because you see dedication from other people. You see, the kindness, amazing servant hearts of some committed Buddhists, they've provided multitude of compassionate services to others. Their noteworthy efforts do nothing to persuade me to become a Buddhist. And so as Dighton Church, us great loving Christian people with smiles on our face, that we say we are loving people, we love people, we want people to come to church, we want people, it doesn't make people want to come to Jesus, does it? I mean, if that were the case, you guys are great. You guys are some of the most fantastic people I've ever met, with the most amazing attitudes, amazing smiles, amazing personalities. But why isn't this church full? Because it doesn't work that way. And you can't get somebody saved by your good looks. You can't get somebody saved by your beautiful attitude. You can't get somebody saved by who you are in your own persuasive words and talents and gifts. But it's through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit through you. And so I hope that you can connect these two things today. I hope you're understanding where I'm coming from, is that we can do everything, we can do everything, we can do everything as a church and as a person, but unless the Holy Spirit goes before us and empowers us with the words to say from on high, we are useless. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Paul again writing to Timothy says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, they will be proud, they will scoff at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others. They will have no self-control." Sound familiar, okay, the world we live in. I continue. "They will be cruel, and they will hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride. And they will love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. Now, that was Paul. I said earlier that he was pretty bold. Verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, "They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up this morning as we kind of close out. But as you think of this passage of scripture with me, is that I don't want to be a person, right? I don't want to be a church that acts religious. That acts religious. Like, you know what religious is. We all get religious. Religion, we understand as good Wesleyans, like, we don't like religion. It's about relationship, right? We get that. Religion is not good. Relationship with Jesus Christ is good. But you see, as churchgoers, you're religious at times. As churchgoers, we do things that we always do, that we always do religiously. There it is. And so sometimes we act a certain way. We act a certain way as a religious people, but we reject the power of the Holy Spirit. That's making me uncomfortable. I don't know about you. That makes me uncomfortable. That I don't want to just be a pastor to go through the motions and just to do things that I'm supposed to do because it's my job. That's religion. And as I confessed to you earlier, I struggle with this. Because I don't want to reject the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to reject the power of the Holy Spirit because it's easy to do something differently, or it's the way we've always done it, or it's comfortable, or it's... You get what I'm saying? And so as we think about this today, it's like I said, I don't mean to be harsh, or I have a passion for this because this is something that we all struggle with. And as a church, I feel like this is a warning to us that we get so comfortable, we get so just complacent, we get so apathetic, and we just need to release that and get rid of it, and we need to say, oh, Holy Spirit, I need you. I mean, we're thinking about building, right? And we've been talking about the building project. We're thinking about building fellowship hall, multi-purpose gymnasium, things for kids, more space, right, for things for us to do. And as a board and as a building team, we're going back and forth because we're saying, I think we should, and the wrong way to look at it is the word I. It's Lord, we want to discern your Holy Spirit. Go before us. Let us know what you want so that we can be on board with whatever building you want us to have. You see, so I'm not trying to beat us up this morning, but I think it's a good warning for all of us to say, oh, Holy Spirit, it's not with what we do. It's not how we talk. It's not what we look like. And it's not what all of our programs are buildings. It's, oh, Holy Spirit, we want to do everything within the power of the Spirit that would lead us, that would guide us. And we're just along the journey along the way. And so today, the call out is whatever Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and your mind today. I mean, I ask that you would just pray, God, if there's something that I need more of, if it's the Holy Spirit in my life, this is the power of the Spirit, please reveal that to me. And then just ask him. Just ask him, fill me, Lord. Fill me with power. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us may need to ask forgiveness for apathy. Being just blah, right? Like, Lord, forgive me for being just blah in my Christian faith, right? I've been there. Just, Lord, forgive me. Some of you may be in sin, and there's that sin that blocks that relationship, blocks the power, blocks the conduit. There's a plug in the conduit, in the plumbing of your life, and it's called sin. And sin is the greatest blocker of understanding and feeling and knowing and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so someone here today need to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, and confess that sin to him. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for being this. I'm sorry for doing this. I'm sorry. Please forgive me through the blood of Jesus. So you've been around the block long enough to know that I just want you to take some time right now and just seek Holy Spirit. And then we're going to kind of close out today in a song, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to fall fresh fire upon this church today.